Come on, let's give God some praise by clapping our hands together. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Oh, come on, come on, bless the Lord. Come on. Everybody, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you can't laugh at yourself, amen. God bless you. I tell you, the choir, I was sitting there trying to keep a pastoral face. I'm sitting there saying, if they mess that song up any more than that, I'm just going to get up and just do like this. And they were saying ain't, and then some of them saying no, ain't. Ain't don't go right there. But I love them. I love them. Amen. Laughter is good. That was just horrible, I'm telling you. But it was funny horrible. It was like, I'm saying they can't find nowhere to go. They done turned into a musical. Stacy just playing. They looking at each other. They like, that ain't in the song. I could hear that. You see, y'all don't get to hear him. I could hear him. What are you doing? Amen. My wife got that. We didn't rehearse it like that look. The music director said, we didn't rehearse it. Well, then don't sing it. Amen. Let's pray together. Merciful God, our Father, we are so thankful, even for the humor of worship. For we know that the joy of the Lord is where we get our strength. Now, Lord, we have risen to greet you and for you to come and be with us now in this moment. We're very thankful that you have given us the mind and the wherewithal to assemble again in this sacred moment. Open again our eyes and our ears, and thy will be done. Lord, we are so excited, really, about the opportunity. Because what we've seen you do in others, Lord, we want to let you know that we're available, that you can do likewise in us. You have healed the sick. You have cured the incurable. Folk who could not get up have risen. Those left for dead are still yet alive. What you've done in others, we give you, Lord, permission and express our desire that it be done in us. Who then can be saved is the question that has been asked for years and years. And save somebody today. Save somebody today. God, don't let your son or your daughter walk out of this room today when they are so close. We've navigated our way through the mess, through the heartache and the disappointment. And we're in the sanctuary of our King. Save somebody today. We didn't do everything right, and we've got our list of accusers and naysayers. But save somebody today. And God, let us rejoice with them. Don't let us forget, Lord, that you saved us too. And your word declares that we are to rejoice with them that rejoice. There's an old song we used to sing, Lord, in the old AME church that said, tell me, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? We felt like shouting, we felt like running, we gave God the praise. So let preaching be the key that unlocks the door to our bondage, to our captivity, that we'll come out rejoicing. Whosoever will, that's what you said. Let preaching unlock that door. Build us a bridge that we can cross over from death to life, life in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would now help me to help them so we can go public now with what we have talked about in private. Let your name be glorified. Give preaching power and authority in the name of Jesus. Let old things pass away and all things be new to your glory. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Give God some praise together. Come on. Come on, make a lot of noise like you just discovered something that nobody else didn't know. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Grab your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God bless you. Always have your word with you. It's our tool. It's like that tool that you got to have. And you always know where it is. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, I have a New Living Translation Bible. It may read a little different than your Bible, but preaching will make it all come together. Beginning at verse 4 of chapter 2, the Bible says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And in parentheses, it says, it is only by God's special favor that you have been saved. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Grab a smile from somewhere in your little secret stash. Some of us don't readily smile. Some of us have to be given advance notice that at 12:10 today, they're going to need you to smile. And here it is, 8 o'clock in the morning. So you got to be ready and say, oh, that's right, at 12:10, I got to smile. So smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach just because. Amen. Just because. The text says, and some of us who have been around the church for a little while know that this letter is to the church at Ephesus, and it is given the title as a book, Ephesians. It's one of the letters, one of the epistles, if you will, one of the jailhouse statements of Paul. And he writes to this church because, again, church didn't have Bibles like we have now. They didn't have Matthew Henry and Jameson and Barnes, and they didn't have Spurgeon and the such, but they looked forward to these letters. And Paul was very faithful in that he wrote letters consistently, because he knew the church needed to hear from God. And I wanna set up our moment together by asking you and even encouraging you to be excited about hearing from God. When I was in the military, and some of you who have gone off to colleges and universities, and those of us who remember being separated from our families, back before we had email and texting capabilities, when telephones took a while to dial, we communicated mostly by letter. When I was in the military, they had a designated time each day called mail call. And they would bring us out into the field and behind the barracks, and the drill instructor would come out with a box. And in that box were letters. And he would call off names. And you got excited about the possibility that you would get a letter. The downside of that was that at the end of mail call, you didn't get called. But here's the kicker. What was really cool, and because we struggled together, people who got letters would share their letters with you. You didn't get a letter. One of your boys, one of the other privates would say, "Hey, man, come over here and listen to my letter." Some of them would even let you read their letter before they took out the good parts. You know, girlfriends would write letters to their boyfriends, and there'd be some interesting stuff in them letters. Amen. Y'all looking at me like y'all ain't never read no good letters. Girlfriends would write their boyfriends. Moms would write letters to their sons and say motherly things to encourage them. And every now and then a father would even write a letter to a son. And what was interesting was that those letters said things to people afar that we would dare not say to them in their face. Letters gave us opportunities to express ourselves, and people got excited about letters. So I would to encourage you, beloved of God, to get excited about the letters. God has written these letters to us, and we ought to get excited at mail call. The Bible says that the word should be meditated upon daily. On your way home, you ought to drive, say, "Ooh, I'm going home and read my letter." I realize that the letters we get now are generally not the kind to get excited about, because they come from companies that we owe money to. Somebody trying to get us to give them back something. So a lot of us get to the mailbox and go, I ain't in the mood right now. I'll get it tomorrow. Some of us have not been to the mailbox in so long, the postman thinking we out of town. Letters are just piling up, but we ought to get excited about the letter. So Paul writes Deacon Davis these letters, and he says to the church, there are some important things I want to talk to you about regarding the Lord. I want you to know that God has some provisions in place concerning your person. These letters are indeed addressed to the church, but they are really intimately addressed to the people. Everybody that sat in Paul's meeting that night had something personal said to them by God. God bless you, Sister Susan, today. Sister Cabell, just moments ago, even blessed me by saying, "Thank you for what you said to us this morning. It blessed me." See, that was for her from God. And had you not come to mail call, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You know how the Lord talk. You would have missed something today. And aren't you glad that God is talking to you? I know some of us in this room this morning, we got some folk that they ain't talking to us and swore us off and don't want to communicate anymore. But God said, "I want to talk to you." Sent you a little letter, you ought to get on down there to the church house. Gonna read that letter today. I got something I want to tell you. And you know that when God speaks, something gonna happen. Do you remember the Genesis writing? The Bible said, and God said, and things started happening. The Bible, I like the way the Bible opened. The Bible opens talking about a world that is void and nothing. And God comes out, moving on the face of the water. God comes out of nothingness with everything. Who wouldn't love a God like that? I better say it again. He comes out of nothingness and has everything suitably equipped to fix a world that don't even know it's a world. God writes these letters, and Paul, being inspired by God, says to the church, pay attention. And he opens, and what I love about the letter, Jennifer, is that he talks to us in regards to one of the greatest offerings of humankind. About salvation. Let me help some of y'all very quickly here. It's about 16 minutes after. We ain't been here long. Let me help you understand something. You need no longer set yourself up for frustration by getting enamored with the things of the world. If you ever want to be at peace and have joy and harmony and understand what life balance is all about, trust in God for the word. I didn't get a lot of amens right there. I thought I would. I put something on. This is the greatest thing that has ever been spoken to us. He talked to them about connection with God. Wow. You talking about a hookup. Paul does not talk to them about owning houses or cars or property or taking vacation. He doesn't talk to them about pecking orders and who's got status and who's boss and who's got most tenure or who's got the biggest title, who's been to the best schools or university. He said, listen, you are saved by grace. Y'all missed the shout right there. Lord, he didn't say you might get saved. He didn't say you're in the process of being saved. He said you are saved right now by grace. He said you got it. There's no school of hard learning. There is no certain class or character of people. It's you. You're saved by grace. He said, listen, read it prayerfully. Saints, give me a chance. Go back home, read it. He starts out, he said, listen, in the first verse of chapter 2, he said, you were doomed. The old church had a song that went like this. Dick Nantrum said, I was sinking deep in sin. Wasn't going to get up no more. How many of y'all remember that time in your life? Amen. Nine of y'all are honest. He said, you were in trouble. How many of y'all remember that when you, those of you who had siblings, when they came and got you, they came down to the park or came to your friend's house and embarrassed you, said, you in trouble. Mama going to beat you. And you try to wave it off your friend. Be like, how you going home? Get me? Nah, I ain't going to get no beat. You lying. And you start trembling. How many of y'all cried on the way home? He said, you were in trouble. You were doomed. Watch this now. We going home. He said, forever. I told him, Erica, you were there in noonday the other day. I told you, we were designed by God to live forever. The question is, where you going to be living at? See, you know, a lot of us shout about eternal life in heaven. But a whole lot of us going to be weeping and gnashing our teeth about eternal life in hell. Because God is forever. You designed to be forever. Don't you think when you die and we put you in that box and lower you down that that's it? There is a judgment. Everybody going to have to wake up and give an account. He said, y'all in trouble. Told the church at Ephesus. Forever. He talks about eternity. Forever. Forever? Ever, ever? Ever? He said, you can't alter that. Can't get around it. He said, you're going to have to make a decision. You know, brothers and sisters, beloved of God, I don't know why we became so indecisive about things of God. You know, some folk will fight you about their decisions. But yet we get to the things of God and it's like take it or leave it. You have some decisions to make, don't you? He said to the church, he said, well, you need to be reminded that you were dead in your trespasses. See, that's not language of the church anymore, because if the pastor keep talking about trespasses and sin and death, that just ain't no energy. That I'm bored. I don't go to church to be beat up like that. You do know, amen, that most of your wounds are self-inflicted. I didn't do it to you. Why y'all looking at me with that strange tone of voice? He said, you were dead in your trespass. He said, listen, and anything within the confines of human concept couldn't help us. I prayed and I prayed. I tried and I tried, but I just couldn't do it. Human intellect and depth of knowledge has no salvation. I don't care if you're a professor. I don't care if you're a CEO. I own my own company. I have 63 employees and we do business in 27 continents. And who cares? Well, I care. Where your tithe at first? If you own a company, bring it. You are not able to save yourself. My daddy was the first deacon of the church and my uncle was the chairman of this and my great-grandfather was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he was first assistant to the Pope in 1492. And so, are you saved now? There is no remnant salvation. I've been in the church all my life. The light's been in here too. The carpet been here longer than most of us. So, he said, you do know that there is nothing humanly possible that will save you. He said, so in order, watch this, we're gonna get there. He said, please understand, all of us had the same problem. Am I getting there? It's 23 after. All of us had the same problem. Everybody was doomed. We were dead men and women walking. Bible said, some writer says, our lives ebbed and flowed. We wandered in the desert in a solitary way. We had no GPS locator to get us back home. We were lost. And we cried out unto the Lord. Can I help you along through here? It's one thing to be lost, ebbing and flowing and wandering in a solitary way. It's a whole nother rabbit to be stupid and not at least call on the Lord. Even the heathen every now and then say, Lord, have mercy. Paul says, we were all that way. None of us. The pastor was that way. The deacons were that way. The trustees were that way. The ministers were that way. The choir director was that way. The musicians were that way. The drummer was that way. The ushers were that way. The people at the door were that way. The people in the parking lot were that way. All of us were that way. Paul says, given to me was a thorn to keep me from being conceited. So I didn't think I had it better than anybody else, or think I was up and high and lifted up, and I thought because I was Paul writing these letters. Paul said, I had a problem. Just like you. Nudge your neighbor and say, all of us. Please take note of those who sit next to you that would not even acknowledge that. There is an attitude that reveals itself in the church among some of us. We got a lot of nerve being snooty about salvation. Because he said, please put yourself on. You didn't save yourself. And because you are snooty about the matter, if you are saved, you ain't the only one. What is this rebellion I sense? You ain't the only one. He said, please make note of the fact it is only that God did you a favor. I had a note. There will be a lot of shouting when you say that. I put it right here. That's a shout spot right there. That's what it said. I put it right here. Let me see, Erica, back here. When my brother came and said, you're going to get a whooping, I started crying early. When I got home and mama said, well, this time I'm not going to whoop you, I shouted. Oh, thank you. You is the best mama ever. Anything you need me to do, hallelujah. And she said, go on with me here, boy. You don't mean it. So I thought at least when I said God did y'all a favor, y'all would say, whoa! Because you should have got a whooping. Don't sit and act like you ain't never done nothing. Because you do know that even if you ain't, people will make up that you did. You can be too good. Bible said that. Bible said your good will be evil spoken of. That's what he's saying. He said you can be too good and folk will make up stuff on you. Look at them and say, I heard what you said. You might be sitting next to your biggest adversary. Paul says, I'm 27 minutes. Paul says, not some of y'all want to move. I see what's going on. We're there. We're coming. Paul says, Mamie, watch this. He says, God did you a favor. Now, it's not that you earned the favor. Paul says, all of us need to change. In the church, Deacon Walker, it's called conversion. That's really what it is. He said, listen, please understand that what is happening is that you are being translated from death to life. And not because you deserve it. He said, all right, y'all coming around, you're waking up. Paul says, please understand, it wasn't until grace intercepted us that life even had a chance. Football is on. Some of you ladies know a lot about football, so I'm not going to insult you. But that, you know, the quarterback drops back pass, receiver's going down the field, throws the ball. The defender's job is to intercept the ball or knock it down or whatever. If the defender intercepts the ball, it changes the course of the game. That which was on defense then goes on offense. That's what God's doing for us. You on defense. You trying to give justification, trying to explain, trying to make all excuses, and the enemy getting ready to scorn you, and God said, I'm picking these. Now you got to shout. See, most of us sitting here on defense. When the ball get intercepted, you pull the holler, oh, we got it. God is putting us on offense. Now we can score. See, a whole lot of us don't know when to shout. We don't have no problem complaining, starting rumors, making accusation. But even at shout time, we ain't got it. Well, you look around, worry about everybody else shouting. You just shout. Maybe somebody look at you. Paul said, I'm going home. God intercepted us from passing to death to death. And put us in a reinstated state of mind called forgiveness. You know, whom the Lord has set free kind of stuff. So watch this now. Here's what he says, that it's not of yourself. This is the work of God, the will of God. This is the doing thing. So he reminds us, he said, that our salvation, I like this, is not because we could do it, but really because we couldn't do it. Oh, my goodness. I just want to help somebody understand that it's not about natural abilities. It's not about merit. It's not about earning. But it's about the fact that God did it. God did it. I said, God did it. You got a favor from God and you're alive today. You're sitting up in here and God did it. And if there's anything worth shouting about, it's the fact that God did it. Every time I think about God did it, the list gets longer and longer because I keep thinking about what God keeps doing. And if any way you bless me is going to satisfy me, I'm going to put some of my points in there because God did it. That's the only way it gets done. God did it. That's why they say every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done, every time I hit one of them, God did it, my soul gets excited. He did it. He did what? He did that. He did this. He did that. He did this. He did that. He did that. God did it. And the biggest thing he did wasn't buy me no car, wasn't give me no house, wasn't give me no job. He snatched my soul from the pits of hell, lifted me up out of the muck and the mire. I'm saved. Let me tell you something. I'd rather be broke and saved than rich and on my way to hell. Amen. Paul said, he said, you were sinking. You were in trouble. He said, and you didn't know he was doing it. But he did. Listen, you nudge your neighbor, say you walked into this one. You didn't plot out the route along the Via Della Rosa. You didn't tell Jesus go that way and get to Calvary so you can save me. You just walked into this one. Just because. You are sitting here today and you can't say amen. You can't say thank you, Jesus. You can't lift your hand. You can't wobble your head. You can't at least pat your feet. God did you a favor. And your only response is to sit here and act intelligent and refined. You done lost your last mind. God did it just because. No, nobody have no right to get sophisticated here. We ought to be shouting crazy right now. God did it. He said, well, what? We got a couple minutes. It's on 12:30. He says, let me remind you that you're in a serious conflict. Right then the text. He said, verse 5, even while you were dead, I don't know about you, but that's serious conflict. That's not good. I don't know about you. I don't want to be dead. There's some people I know. No, I can't say that. I mean, he said you had a conflict going on. In the Roman letter, Paul writes this to the church. He said, you were hostile toward God. Y'all remember reading that? Get over Romans 5. Get over it. He said, you were the enemy. You had a conflict. You declared war on heaven. He said, that wasn't a good idea. Anybody in the room willing to admit that every now and then you've engaged upon something and realized shortly thereafter that wasn't a good idea? Anybody ever had that wasn't too bright moment? what was I thinking people at? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Erica. I appreciate you. Jess, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Madeline. Thank you. What was I thinking? thought about what was I thinking. What am I doing over here? He said, you declare war on God? Not a good idea. Jeremiah addresses it, Vicky. Jeremiah said he was so mad at God that he told God he wasn't going to praise him no more. And Jeremiah said, I got home that night, I had heartburn so bad. He said, that was not a good idea. Lord, I did not mean that. He said, listen, you are in a division with God. He said, and understand that you are struggling to hold on to life, trying to do it by yourself. That's why the writer said, if it had not been for the Lord. Can I say quite honestly, if we're messing up life like this and God is in it, what are we going to do if God stepped back? You're talking about a mess. What did they say now? They say a hot mess. Paul said, you do know that decision you made wasn't too bright. How many of us wish we could have changed our mind about some of that backward stuff? Thank you. You sitting by somebody whose hand didn't go up, nudge him and say, you better come on now. Paul said, you got some options here. He said, God is offering you something that you couldn't even earn. He says, please understand, your prognosis is terminal. You're going to die in your sins. Ain't no way around it. He said, I don't care if you're the pastor, you're the deacon, the trustee. If you don't take this offer, you're going to die in your sin. Now, I don't know about y'all, but what kind of sense does that make? Why would you die like that? How many of you have ever had to say that about someone you know? That they had a wasted life. How many ever said to yourself, why would he do that? That don't make no sense. He did what? But he could have chose. You know, life is full of choices. Aren't you glad we have a God, Dean Campbell, who loves us so much that he keeps giving us choices? Watch it, before you shout, even when you done messed up previous choices, he still gives you choices. Paul said, you do know that you have a choice. He said, God's gonna do you a favor. So, okay, Pastor, well, what's the point of the matter? Well, here it is. He says, it is only because God is rich in mercy and has great love for us. Watch this now, that he has made us alive with Christ. And he doesn't stop there. And reminds us, watch this. This is a free shout right here. The real kicker is, what makes the connection so concrete is that Christ knows what it's like to die and get up. You didn't see that, did you? He said you were dead and gonna die. But God has made us alive through the resurrection of Christ, who was dead but got up. How many of you ever told somebody, because you've gone through something, you don't want to do that? You don't want to go through what I went through. Christ died. Knows what death is like. Knows what death is like. And says, I'm going to save y'all from that. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. God is saying to us, if you take this offer, when you die, it won't be a death like that. Watch this. How do you know, Pastor? Because the Bible said, them that are asleep. I wish y'all would help me sometime. It's a difference between being asleep and dead. The elect of God, we just going to sleep. Because when you sleep, there's an intent to eventually wake up. When you die, you's dead. My grandmother used to tell us, say, he dead as a doenail. Now, I don't know what a doenail died from, but it never woke up. Paul says, watch this, Bo, pay attention. Paul says, he made us alive. Okay, Pastor. Just because. Why just because? Well, because you didn't do nothing. You didn't sing pretty enough. Especially after the song they did earlier. Boo. If booing were allowed in church, wouldn't y'all have booed? Thank you, Jess. Jess would have booed. Boo. If y'all was on the gong show, y'all would have got gong. Scatman would have been coming out to get y'all. If you was on The Voice, they wouldn't have turned their chair around. You know. He said, you didn't do nothing. It's just because. Then he said, okay, so what? Two things, and we can go. Not even a whole lot, the word. He said, first of all, understand that God has a proposal on the table. That's what it is, it's a proposal. Because you don't have to take it. So what? Read the proposal. It's right in the letter. I told you about letters. So the first thing is, first preacher, read the proposal. Let's see what God is offering. And at least by information, we can make a better decision. Tyrone, I'm convinced that the reason why a lot of folk don't make the right decision, you got the wrong information. Too many of us have been told by outsiders what the church is like on the inside, and they ain't never been inside. Read the proposal for yourself. When you read the proposal, you will discover, Paul said this to Timothy. We can go home in about 7 minutes. Paul says, you got to study to show yourself approved. He said, Timothy, you decide for yourself. Don't worry about nobody else. You know what? A lot of us don't read the proposal. We going on hearsay church. They say church. But they say up there at Brookville. They say over at White Rock. They say church. You ain't read the proposal. What they say in that movie, God trying to tell you something. Read the proposal. What is God saying to me? I told you this morning, God loves you so much that he gives you the authority to tell him what you want and then obliges himself to give it to you. That's a pretty good deal. Study. What is it saying? First of all, put ourselves in position to be empowered. That's what he told the church. He said, okay, get this. And when you get this, God is going to start doing some stuff by making you the example. It's right there in verse 7. He says, when you get this right, we will be an example of the incredible wealth and favor of God so that other folk. You want your church to grow? Read the proposal. You become the best advertisement for your church. Why? Because you say. People look at you and say, you go to church now? You love the Lord with all your heart? You lifted up praises? Yes, that's me. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. It's right in the text. He said, and God will be able to point to us and say, that's what I do. You got to read that proposal. Second thing is, you got to get with the program. You got to get with the program. You cannot grow in Christ sitting in your living room. Sunday cannot be the best day to clean your greens and fry your chicken. That's what they make Saturday for. Good cooks know you cook on Saturday for Sunday. So you can give Lord all your time. Give me the program. How do you know that, Pastor? Because it's right in the text. Jesus said, learn of me. Follow me. Listen to me. Pay close attention to me. Because everything you've seen me do is the program.
The church is not about chandeliers, PowerPoint, carpet, air conditioning. The church is to build the church through the church.
Seven people say, we agree. Give it the program.
Don't get in that mentality. That's why I stopped going, because they didn't do this and they didn't do that.
Listen, I would quit going to any church that ain't trying to make disciples. I would not stop going to church because they don't give free food away. Because they don't let you have your way. Don't let your children tear up the church. We don't let your children run around. That ain't no reason to leave. That's reason to get your children straight. And stop tearing up our church, sticking gum up under our pews and stuff. Everybody thinking now. Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and say, what's going to be your excuse? You mark my words. Some folk already done checked out. I don't go to church for that kind of preaching. You a preacher? Then what you know about preaching? Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel and good tidings of good news. That's the preacher's job. Your job is to be the listener. Not a sleeping listener. Wake up there. No, I'm just kidding. You understand? He said, you got to get with the program. Let me tell you something. Most of us, watch this, protest the program and not even a part of it. I said something right there, didn't I? Most of us protest the program and we ain't even a part of it. You never even gave it a chance. Let me show you why. I'm done. Last note. Most of us are so dissatisfied with the totality of our life that the church ain't got a chance. We don't like our job. We don't like the person we married to. We don't like our children. We don't like the car we drive. We don't like the house we live in. We don't like the food we eat. We don't like how much they pay us. It's just that don't. So how God gonna ever get a chance? When in fact, watch this, the program says, in all things give thanks. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the program. Stop whining and start worshiping. You'll change your whole life. I'm going to say it again. Stop whining and start worshiping. You will change your whole life. The joy of my life is in Christ. Truth be told, all us broke. Because you brought nothing in. You don't carry nothing out. The job you got ain't yours. The house you live in is not yours. The car's not yours. The earth is the Lord's. And they that dwell therein, everything is borrowed. But if you get with the program, God said, I can trust you with that because I know you'll take care of it. You tired of living beneath your privilege? Get with the program. God said, I will bless you so much that the world will come to you. Prayer of Jabez. Let me get that one. Bible says, and Jabez prayed unto the God of Israel. He got with the program. He said, wait a minute, this ain't working. I know what I'm going to do. Dear God of Israel, enlarge my territory. Strengthen the cords of my tent. And I'll remember you. See, y'all ain't talking to me now. The problem is, watch this. Here's another free tidbit, Josh. The more we get from God, the further we get from God. Bonus preaching free. Some of us, when we didn't have much, we praised the God. You couldn't keep us from shouting because we were dependent on God. Then God blessed us. Put a little spoon in our mouth and put a little rag on our back and a little something in the driveway. Then it became inconvenient. Child, I just washed my car. It's raining. I ain't going out there. Child, these new shoes, I don't want to step in that mud. You know what they did to Jesus? So you could step in the mud? Give me the program. Listen, learn. He said, okay, just because. Last thing, he said, well, okay, I got to read the proposal. I got to get the program. But here's what he says. He said, you've got to prescribe and not become problematic. In other words, once you get with the Lord, you've got to stay with the Lord and cut all that foolishness out. God saved you by a special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift. Just because. He said, you prescribe. Get on board. And then don't start acting crazy. You know, church folk ain't like no folk I know. Bible said that when he brought us, he said, you were that chosen generation, saved by God. That's you. I'm not talking to a people who don't know what I'm talking about. You are saved by God. Right now. He said, listen, and God made it so that you don't have to earn it, so nobody can boast about it. It ain't about how much money you make. It ain't about what kind of titles you get. God saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. That nobody can brag.
He said it because you could have been dead.
He said, but remember, you're saved. No, nobody wants to be left out. Nobody wants to be the last. But aren't you glad God's got an app for that? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And even if I am last, thank God he picked me. Everybody in the room got an opportunity. Be saved. Sitting up in the church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and won't even accept the proposal? You can't walk away from a deal like this.
When I was working on my summary argument, I had a picture in my mind of the Godfather, the good version. With Marlon Brando, with the little things in his jaw. They come to him and say, listen, we need to go down and talk to Ray Gabrucci down there. And he said, make him an offer he can't refuse. You know what that mean? Any of y'all got Italian or Sicilians in your family? I don't want to offend y'all. You know, whenever the mafia, the mob, organized crime, whenever they say that, you know what that means? Either you take it or you die. Now, Ray Gabrucci down there got these garbage trucks and he infringing on the Godfather's territory. He said, go down there and make him an offer he can't refuse. In other words, if you don't stop bringing them garbage trucks over here, it's a movie, but you die. You sleep with the fishes. So he comes back and they turn him down. Two or three days later in the movie, they're having a meeting. Man comes in and throw this fish on the table. The man said, what in the world does that mean? Because he's in the outside. He don't know no better. The man looks at him and said, that means that he sleeps with the fishes. That means he's dead. So God is saying, here's an offer. Come with me and accept this or die. Now, for those of you who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and got this sophomoric attitude, you're going to walk out there saying, he going around telling people the Lord going to kill them. No, you're going to kill yourself. Get it right? You're going to kill yourself because Paul says to the church, you dead in your trespasses. You have a chance to live. Here's an offer. Not by anything you've done, but a special favor from God, just because.
Who wouldn't take a deal like that? You're sitting up in here today and you got an offer like this? What reason could you have to say no? I don't feel like going to church every Sunday. You breathing every day. I ain't going to be putting all my money up there. Nobody ever puts all their money up here. I can't be getting up that early. You can lay down forever and not worry about getting up anymore. I mean, I'm just trying to make it plain. This is a good offer. And stop going by the they say, hearsay. Come on in and try it for yourself. You know, God loves you. And God is saying to you, here's an offer. I will save you based on grace. So that nobody gets left out. Doesn't matter whether you're an educator or an ignoramus. I know you can't really say ignoramus, but no matter. Doesn't matter if you got a title or nothing. I'll save you by grace. So all of it you have done, cussing, smoking, drinking, stealing, lying, robbing, adultery, fornication, child pornography, whatever you do, cigars, cigarettes, gambling. Can I get the list right? Let me see. We'll start at A, B, C, D. Whatever you, nudge your name and say any of it. God will wipe it off and say to you, I'll take you. Just because. Lord, what I got to do? Say yes. You do know that it's unmerited favor. What does that mean, Pastor? That means all you said was yes. See, some of y'all think you got saved because you were so wonderful. No, you weren't. And some of us think we still saved because we're so wonderful. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't stay out late. Wonderful. Enjoy your life. Amen. That don't mean that's why you saved. Mingle among yourselves. Work it out. It's just because. So he says, and we're going, he says, would you take the offer? It's his faith. It's his love. It's his blood. It's not yours. It's his faith. It's his love. It's his blood. Just because. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever. So I'm just asking you, would you at least read the proposal? We are not going to build a church with a misinformation campaign. It is said then, and it is true now, that the truth will make us free. So let's stand on our feet. That's it. It is my intention. I told you a few weeks ago, I'm going to keep it simple. We're not going to rant and rave and hoop and holler. Later on we will. We'll get back to that because I love it so. I just need you to walk out of here thinking, or at least walk up here thinking. God said, I'll do it for you. As a